even for the snow. And just thank you for how you provide for us so many different ways, and just help us to really remember specifically those things you've blessed us with, and not to just make a blanket statement, but you know, to be specific. You know, for our facilities we have here, what a blessing it is to have what we have, and all the people throughout all the years that have supported this place and worked to make it what it is. Just thank you for them. And Father, we look forward to what you're going to do in the future, because we know that you hold the future, and we can have our hope in you no matter what's going on around us. Our hope is in you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're continuing our series in Mark, looking at really specifically Jesus this morning and the authority that he came across with. You know, starting off with, you know, just thinking about, you know, use your sanctified imagination this morning. So put yourself in that place back when Jesus was on the earth, and you maybe had the opportunity to hear him speak. What we learn in Scripture is there was just this presence about him. You know, it actually says that he really looked no different. He was pretty average in the way he looked, but there was something about him. There was something that amazed the people. That term amazed means blown away, mind-blowing, or thunderstruck. I mean, just think about that. They were astonished. That term has the idea of being stupefied with surprise. And Mark uses these terms over and over and over. Jesus' content was reliable. His reasoning was irrefutable. His theology was impeccable. His presentation flawless. And his insights penetrating. He spoke with truth and clarity and passion. There was this authority about him that even the demons recognized him when the people maybe didn't. He inspired total devotion. Total devotion. We saw that last week when he was calling some of the disciples and they just left everything and went. Total devotion. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 21 through 28. So open them up, turn them on, whatever it is you have to do to your Bible to get it going. Mark 1, 21 through 28 says, "They went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and began to teach. They were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Just then there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'What business do I have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God.' And Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be quiet. Come out of him.' And throwing him into convulsions, the unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out of him." Imagine the people. They were all amazed, astonished, stupefied. So they debated among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately the news about him spread everywhere to all the surrounding districts. Imagine sitting in the synagogue that morning, and this transpires. Man, can you wait to get out the door to go tell somebody what happened? "Oh man, you should have been at synagogue this morning, because here's what happened. Yeah, there might have been a little snow. That shouldn't have kept you away." "Yeah, it might have been Super Bowl Sunday, but you missed it. You missed Jesus this morning." In the synagogue. The synagogue was a place where they met. They had the Sabbath services. It was a place where Jesus knew he could go and he would have a certain amount of people there. They were the center for Jewish culture and learning. This is where the children learned about Scripture. This is where proselytes, when they turned to Judaism, would come and they would learn about the religion. It was a civil meeting place, places where they resolved disputes, where they recorded contracts, where marriages were performed. And it became the first focus of the gospel because Jesus knew this was an influential place. He was a good Jewish man. He grew up going to synagogue. He knew that people would come expecting to hear about God. Jesus amazed the people because of his teaching, because of the authority that he had. It says that he had the authority that the scribes didn't have. So the scribes, they tended to be kind of like lawyers. That's kind of who they were. They tended to teach by quoting rabbis. Not so much scripture, but rabbis. In normative Judaism of the New Testament period, the Old Testament scripture was read and discussed in the synagogue by the men who were present. First came the law, then the prophets, then someone was asked to speak on the texts. Jesus undoubtedly took the opportunity on this occasion to speak about his person and mission and its relationship to Old Testament fulfillment. Luke 4 gives a little more insight into what Jesus may have done in the synagogue. Luke 4, chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "And he came to Nazareth," Jesus, "where he had been brought up. And as was his occasion, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he stood up to read." Then verse 20, "And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And all eyes in the synagogue were fixed on him." He just read scripture. And they're like, "Wow, what's he gonna say next?" And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been filled in your hearing." And all were speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips. They were in awe. There was this authority that he spoke with. Because part of the problem was they weren't hearing this. They weren't necessarily always hearing God's word because of all the traditions that there were. He spoke with authority. He spoke God's word. In Matthew 4, we see the temptation of Christ. And his response to Satan every time is scripture. He didn't just, he could have said, "Hey, I'm God. Let me tell you how it is, buddy." But he didn't. He quoted scripture, Old Testament scripture. He quoted to Satan. In the synagogue, this always blows me away where you find demons. In the synagogue, there's a demon-possessed man. The first thing he does is he shows contempt for Jesus. This term that he used, "What business do we have with each other," is actually a Hebrew idiom. "We have nothing to do with one another," or "Why bother us?" It was kind of a term that was used. The same term was used when Jesus was before Pilate. This is in Matthew 27. Jesus is before Pilate. And Pilate's wife comes in to talk to him. And while Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message saying, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man." It's that same term. "For last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him." The demon outs Jesus, says who he is. Because there would be some in there that the light hadn't quite come on yet for them. Okay, this guy, he really speaks with authority and you know, pretty amazed by what he has to say, but they, you know, totally weren't getting who he was. The demon absolutely knows who he was. He says, the Holy One of God. He understood exactly who Jesus was. In James chapter 2, it talks about the demons. They know who God is. They knew who God is, and it says, the demons also believe, and they shudder. They shudder. Jesus then rebukes the demon, tells him to be quiet, quit causing a scene. God literally confronting evil and telling evil to zip it. Jesus then says to the demon, come out of him. And the demon leaves, but he gives one last try. And he throws the man into convulsions. And he cries out with a loud voice as he comes out. You ever wonder where they go? So, There's the story of Jesus in Gennesaret, and there's this guy that has multiple demons. It says that we are legion, multiple demons, and he says to the demons, come out, and they say, well, let us go in the pigs. So he lets them go in the pigs. Well, about the ones that don't go anywhere? Ever wonder where they go? I kind of wonder, in this case, as we're looking at this, that once that demon is removed from this man, they're cast into wherever they're going to end up. And they're absolutely gone, that specific one. And that's why they have such an issue with coming out. Doesn't really say what happens to a demon when it's cast out, other than the ones that went in the pigs. But once the pigs were drowned, then where did they go? Think about that one for a while. The people were astonished. It's interesting how they said, what's this new teaching? Was it new? What did he do? He just got done reading Scripture. They're like, ooh, what's this new teaching? Because the issue a lot of times is they weren't being taught from Scripture. They were being taught the traditions of the religious leaders. Oh, you need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to do this. They weren't really taught Scripture. Now, they would have learned Scripture as kids, because that was part of going to synagogue as a child. But it's just, I mean, that's amazing to think that they're saying, well, what's this new teaching? It's not new. And then it says, immediately they spread the word. Immediately the news about him spread everywhere to all the surrounding districts of Galilee. You can imagine, they saw this and they were going out telling everybody. Man, this is what I saw today. This was crazy. This guy named Jesus comes in and I've never heard anybody like him. I've never seen anybody like him. He was fighting with the demons and winning. Could this be Messiah? Could this be the one that we've been waiting for? We need to realize that we need to listen to and adhere to authoritative teaching. And the only way you're going to know if it's authoritative is, what's the source? What's the source? It's got to be God's Word. 2 Peter 1 says in verse 20, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. That's our Bible. men moved by the Holy Spirit, writing down what God wanted them to write down. Paul, speaking to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2, he makes this statement to them, "For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That's the main point. Jesus. Jesus alone and Him crucified. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is inspired by God." All of it is inspired by God and profitable for us. We who are believers in Jesus Christ have been empowered. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak authoritatively, as long as it lines up with God's word, as long as we pay attention to what the Holy Spirit tells us. Mark 13, 11, the second part says, "Do not worry beforehand about what you are to say." His disciples, they're concerned because they know kind of where things are going. So if they end up getting brought before the authorities, what are they going to do? Don't worry about what beforehand what you're going to say, but whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but it is the Holy Spirit. Being sensitive to what the Holy Spirit says, and then being able to speak forth what He prompts us to say. We need to realize that this is a spiritual battle. A spiritual battle. And we see this very evidently as this demon shows up in the synagogue. And Jesus goes to battle with him. Ephesians 6:12 tells us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. We forget that our battle is a spiritual one, that our battle isn't necessarily against people. There's people who are led by the wrong spirit, by evil spirits, but our battle isn't specifically with them. It's with what they believe. It's with what's controlling them. They are still people created in God's image, even though they're wrong. We see that what we need to do is speak boldly in Christ's name, because that is the only name under heaven and earth, the name above all names. We see Paul when he confronts a girl with a demon, and he speaks to her and he says, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out at that very moment. Paul knew where the power came from. The power came from Jesus Christ. And we need to remember that. It's not us. It's the Holy Spirit within us. And the authority of God's word, scriptures. And then we need to spread the word. When we see something that has amazed us that Jesus has done or God has done, tell people about it. Be a witness. Proclaim it. Matthew 10:27 says, "What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. And what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops." The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, the best news that there is. 1 John 1:3. "What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also." What's God done in your life? Proclaim it. Tell people about it, even if they don't want to hear. But make sure it's in line with Scripture. Paul says again in 1 Corinthians 1:17, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void. You know, that's an encouraging passage for me. Not in cleverness of speech, just speak God's word. That's all you need to do. This is what God's word says. It's not what I'm saying. It's what God's word says. So people, they can get mad with you if they want, but it's not you really. It's God. It's God that's saying it. Our job is to spread that word. And we're to do it until he comes again. Or he takes us out. One or the other. This morning we're going to celebrate communion. And part of that is the proclaiming of the death of Christ until he comes again. Because it was with that death that he saved us. It was the shedding of his blood that brought salvation for us. And so we proclaim it until he comes or until we go, one or the other. With every breath that's in us, we proclaim Jesus Christ. So I'm going to have the guys come on up.